For the last talk of the day. So yes, today I'm going to be talking about some recent results that I've found about a model of computation, generalized quantum finite automata, which was introduced by NIAC. Quantum finite automata are simple models of quantum computation. There's a number of variants, and I'm sure that there's lots of people here that haven't heard of any of them before, so I'm going to spend some time today to just give you an overview of some of the different variants that people have considered. And focus less on the technical details of what I've recently proved. But I try to give you a picture of what's going on and how it fits into what's currently known. So I understand that some of you are focused mostly, almost entirely on the information side. So let's remind ourselves a little bit about computation. So when we consider the computational problems, an essential type of problem that we consider is characterizing inputs. You take an input and you want to classify it according to some finite set of classes, and an essential variant of that is the decision problem. You want to take an input and say, yes, this is in the class, or no, this is not in the class. And a nice way to look at that is in terms of these things called languages. So you take a sigma, which is a finite alphabet, and sigma star is a set of all finite ordered sequences of these letters, or we call these words. And then a subset of these of sigma star is called a language. So we imagine that we have some machine which is reading the characters one by one, and then it decides to accept or reject. So in the case that your memory for your machine M is finite, then we call this a finite automata. And here's a simple example. We can picture them as some set of states and a set of transitions for each letter. And then the input word traces a path in through the different states. And so we have one marked state. That's the accepting, that if you land in an accepting state, you accept. And all the other ones, you would reject. So this is going to accept all words alternating A's and B's, starting with an A and ending with a B. So the computational power of finite automata are well understood. It's a well-behaved subclass of computational devices. And we have nice properties about them. If somebody gives you an automata for a language, you could construct a minimal automata, and so on. Why is this moving? Pause. OK. Good. So we'd like to extend some of this niceness to quantum land. So here's the basic framework for all of the QFAs. You have some machine state, which is that's supposed to be H of n, some fixed dimensional Hilbert space. And you have some input word. Every letter induces some operation on the state. And at the end, the state is measured to determine the output. So these are characterized by the classes of permissible operations for each letter. And so we want to characterize the class of languages which are recognized by these different variations. So what I've been able to show is some new necessary conditions for being recognizable by a generalized QFA. And this implies some properties of the class of languages recognized by GQFA. For example, they're not closed under union or intersection. And there's no a priori way to boost the acceptance probability of the GQFA. So what that means is that if you have a GQFA which recognizes a language with probability 0.7, you can't boost it to 1 minus epsilon for all epsilon. So here's the four generalized variations we're going to consider. At the bottom, we have MOQFA, measure once QFA, that's the simplest one. And then in the middle, we have LQFA, KWQFA, and GQFA. I'm going to give you all the definitions for this. So this, let's look at the simple one first. So you fix an input alphabet in a fixed dimension and an initial state. And for every letter, you have a unitary matrix. And at the end, you have this projective measurement, which projects into an accepting or rejecting subspace. And so on every input word, we apply the sequence of unitary transformations corresponding to that word. And then we apply the measurement. And that's going to be the output of your of your machine. And we say that we recognize a language if we can correctly distinguish every word with probability, some fixed probability p greater than half. So it's not hard to show that these recognize exactly those languages which can be recognized by permutation automata. So you have a finite automata. Every letter induces a permutation on the states. But they can do it so efficiently. So, for example, if you want to count mod n the number of ones in a sequence of letters, you can actually do that using order log n states. So it's a very nice, robust class. And the key thing it can't do is it can't recognize this language. You can't detect the presence of a letter, because if you have one unitary, if you apply it many times, then there's going to be a product which is arbitrarily close to the identity, and then the machine just forgets that a letter was read. So the second one I'm going to talk about is this Latvian QFA. This was a model which was implicitly introduced by NIAC. But then it was studied by Andresen Banes and his group. And between his group and our group, we were able to exactly characterize the class of languages recognized by these. So you're allowed to do for every letter, you apply this unitary transformation, but then also a projective measurement. And this extends the class, the type of transformations you can perform. So for example, now you can recognize sigma star A, sigma star, by taking a unitary transformation on the letter A, which takes some fixed initial state to the maximally mixed state. And if your final measurement is to say, are you in the initial state or not, that's going to be give you the correct answer to the question, is there an A with probability n minus 1 over n, which is where n is the number of states you have. So you can do more. And you can actually exactly characterize what the languages can be recognized by these things. And furthermore, it's decidable. So if somebody gives you an automata for the language, then you can there's a procedure which can tell whether or not an LQFA can recognize this language. And so the key things that they can't do, it all boils down to these two lower bounds, that it can't determine, it can't recognize the language sigma star A or A sigma star. It can't see what the last letter of the word is or the first. So in the other two models, there's a little bit of funniness, because models, you're allowed to measure in the middle. And so after every step, you also make this measurement between accept and reject and non, some fixed measurement. And then if you fall into the accept case, then you're going to accept. If not, you reject. And if not, you keep going. And this was the first one considered by Condex and Watrous. This is their one-way QFA. So it's not hard to see that you can recognize sigma star A sigma star with that. You immediately, if you see an A, you fall to reject, and if you're still alive at the end, you accept. But then it can do other languages in a very strange way. It's not very clear how this would be. This you could use to recognize a letter A1 followed by an A2 followed by an A3. So it's hard to exactly characterize what the languages are recognized by this machine. And so like before, this one can't recognize sigma star A, but it can recognize A sigma star, because you immediately look at the first letter and then you make your decision right away. But it's not a nice, the class of languages recognized by this machine is not a nice robust class. It's not closed under union or intersection. And then the last variation considers a generalization of both LQFA and KWQFA. This is the one that was introduced by NIAC. And again, he was able to show, even in this generalized case, that you can't recognize sigma star A, but again, you can recognize A sigma star. So, but it's sort of cheating if you immediately use this measuring in the middle case to jump to a conclusion. It's not something that you can induct on. So this is a theorem by Mbanis and Freiwaltz, which shows that in a stronger sense, you can't remember what the first letter was in your word. So if the minimal automata for your language L contains the sequence of states Q, Q1, and Q2, where X brings you to Q1 and you stay in Q1, and Y, same thing with Q2, and then you have Z1 and Z2, which are doing the opposite behavior, so then you can't be recognized by KWQFA. So you can't remember for a long time in the presence of a long sequence of X's and Y's whether the first thing to appear was an X or a Y. And this is something that we're going to show is also going to apply to the GQFA case. So the key lemma for that is a nice decomposition of the behavior of the states into two components. So let's take the state and normalize it so that it's weighted by a factor of square root of the probability of being alive at that point. So we're trying to characterize here the state condition on not halting. So, and the lemma says that you can separate for every W the state space into two components. One component, E1, such that if you're in E1, you stay in E1. And if you're in E2, then after you read a series of W's, then you're going to dissipate. You're going to go to nothing. And so the idea behind this is that if you see many of these W's, then essentially it's the behavior of the E1 part that dominates. So how could we use this to prove this theorem? So the first thing that we do is we extend this. We extend the theorem not just for W, but for all sequences of X, Y. It's a pretty simple generalization. And then you by the lemma, you can take a WX and WY that dissipates the E2 component so that you're only left with this E1 part. And the E1 part is acting, all the operations are acting unitarily. So it's exactly like an MOQFA. And we know that this guy is not going to be able to do the job of remembering whether or not there's an X or a Y. So that's basically the proof. So in the GQFA case, we see that this theorem also applies. And it's basically a straightforward extension of what was known about KWQFA. It's a little bit more technical because now you have to keep track of this probability distribution over states. But you get the exact same sort of behavior. You have this E1 part and E2 part, and if the support of your density matrix is in E1, then you stay in E1. If the support of the density matrix is in E2, then you're going to dissipate and go to zero. That's if we weight the density matrices by the probability of being alive. So let me just sketch how this lemma would be proved. It's very similar to the KWQFA case. So you just construct a subspace where which is the span of all pure states which stay alive after one reading of W, and then you from there you define the span of pure states which stay after two steps and three steps and four steps, and these are all going to be contained in each other, and because there's a finite dimension, a fixed dimension, there's going to be a smallest, this E1. And so that defines E1. E2 is going to be the orthogonal complement of this E1 that you've chosen. And so what you need to show then is that the E1 part and the E2 part act independently of each other. And after so many steps, if you're in the E2 part, then you're going to dissipate by some constant fraction. So once you have this, then you can prove this theorem here. And it follows exactly like the KWQFA case, but you dissipate the E2 part, but then you're left with the E1 part, and this is going to act exactly as the LQFA case. And the LQFA case was something that we've worked on before, and we know that, again, this is not going to be able to remember whether the first word that was read was an X or a Y. So this implies non-closure under union, because you have these two automata here. There's going to be a generalized quantum finite automata which recognizes these two, but if you look at the union of these two, then it's going to have this forbidden construction. So this proves that GQFA, like KWQFA, doesn't have this nice robust structure of the other classes. So that's all I wanted to say. So we've been able to lift some lower bounds from LQFA and KWQFA to the case of GQFA. And it shows that there's a nice relationship between the four variations. And it characterizes this halting in the middle sort of behavior. And it shows that we have a good understanding of this. And KWQFA and GQFA they have some funny behavior in that they don't have nice closure properties, but there's this core of nice case, which is the MLQFA and LQFA case. Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Okay, so that's how it's often marked. This is the two circles is an accepting state, and the other one is a non-accepting state. So you take a path, and if you hit an accepting state, you accept; otherwise, you reject. Yes. Well, I would think that the LQFA. I think if people started with the LQFA case, then everybody would know about it. But I think that we started with this measurement in the middle. It has this funny behavior, and so people forgot about them.